Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
First Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again. So the Lord had not appeared. Is that right? The Lord had not appeared for a long time in Israel. Had not appeared. You know, Samuel, the prophet Samuel, falls under the judges of Israel. So if you were going to write the book of Judges, in a complete sense, Samuel, is that right? Until Saul, all we had were judges. So Samson, Othniel, Gideon, Deborah, Barak, all those were judges. Is that okay? So Samson falls among the judges. Praise God. And what used to happen was that children of Israel will sin against God, so God will withdraw. They will fall into the hand of their enemies. Then they will cry to the Lord. The Lord will send a judge. Is that right? Then the judge will come, lead them into warfare. They will get delivered from the enemy, all of that. So after a while, God stopped. God withdrew. And so, up to that time, and especially because of the lifestyle of the sons of Eli, God stopped up showing himself. Now let me say this. Now when we say that God visits a person, it does not mean that God is not around. But it means that God has not manifested himself. God is not revealing himself to that person. Amen. God is omnipresent. But it's not everybody that experiences God. God is omnipresent, but everybody does not experience him. In other words, God can manifest himself, or God may withdraw himself. So the Bible says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of God. So the first way that God reveals himself, or God brings a visitation to people, is through the word of God. And I said on Sunday that many times what we are looking for is the spectacular. You know, when maybe we go to a place and somebody calls out your case, or somebody says something. Now let me say this. We're going to see it when we come to the time we're going to be looking at the operation of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Now let me say this, and I want you to hear this. There's a gift called the word of knowledge, or the word of wisdom. In reality, that gift, you see, the way we have used the gift, the way the gift has been used in a way to attract the attention of men. But in reality, that gift was supposed to be operated that while somebody is speaking, he is talking about your situation. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? It's called the word. That's so. Somebody will be speaking, and as he is teaching, he'll be talking about what you are going through. Are you understanding me? I don't have to come up and say, there's somebody here. Like somebody said, I'm flying. He said, I'm over Ghana right now. He said, I'm over one village in Ghana. They said, is there somebody from so-so place? There's somebody who raises his hand. Say, are you from so-so place? Come. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not saying that God cannot show you something. Is that okay? But what I'm saying is that most of the time, God can dispense his intention to the teaching of the word. Hallelujah. But sometimes, because we like the spectacular, if the man does not say, I'm flying, it doesn't get to you that God is doing something. The person has to now do something that looks as though there is an extra beyond the word of God's situation happening. They'll say, power. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know what has happened to us? By reason of that, we have stopped listening to the basics of Scripture. Unless something is done to add to the simplicity of Scripture. And you see, this was the problem even in the early church. The Bible says, for the Greeks are looking for knowledge, but the Jews are looking for power. So, looking for a sign. all through when Jesus was with them, the Bible will say that they said to Jesus, give us a sign. And Jesus will say to them, no sign will be given to this generation. When the rich man went to this, he said, give me water. He said, no water for you. He said, let me make a last request. Say, what's your request? He said, sir, let me go and warn my brothers. He said, you are going nowhere. He said, Abraham said to him, he said, Moses and Abraham and the prophets are with them. When the Bible was saying Moses and the prophets are with them, it was not saying that Moses was alive on the earth. I hope you understand that. When you read the Bible and the Bible says Moses, is referring to the five books of Moses. When it says the prophets, it's referring to the Psalms and a book of Isaiah and all of those books. They had it. So when Abraham said to him, Moses and the prophets, which means that everything that was spoken, he said, is there. He said, if they will not listen to it, he said, even if you go, they will not listen to you. You know, the intention of the guy was that when I appear from the dead and I tell him, you know, I died. And I came back and I'm here to warn you people, they will all repent. Abraham said, they will not repent. In other words, listen to me. God wants you to receive the simplicity of the word. Learn to receive the word in the simple way it comes. And let me say this, that if you learn to receive the word in the simple way it comes, and you honor, you place value on that word that you receive, you will not be a spectator of miracles. You will be a producer of the miraculous. You will be a producer of the miraculous. The way the church was designed. Oh, give me Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. The way the church was designed. The church was not designed to be an eternal hospital. You know, how many doctors want to have patients that never leave? Or which teacher wants to have students that never graduate? And many times, that is what you have in church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, yes, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, if you read this in the correct distinct, it says, For the word perfect is for the maturing of the saints. There's no comma for the work of the ministry. Which means that the saints were supposed to be matured so that the saints will do the work of ministry. So the actual work of ministry is not for the apostles, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists. No, their assignment, they are the coaches. The saints are the players. Anybody understanding that? These people are the coaches. The saints are the players. Amen. And so God revealed himself by the word. So God reveals himself. If you want to have a visitation, a mighty visitation, the first place to begin to have that visitation is by the word of God. And the meaning of that is this. It means that every one of us has access to having divine visitations. Every one of us. Every one of us. Number two, this thing places us on the same platform. If you have the word of God, then you can experience it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? If you have access to the word of God, then you have access to divine visitations. You see, the difference among men in the kingdom is not that God favors certain people more than certain people. It is that certain people give themselves to certain things more than others. Certain people give themselves to certain things more than others. So he revealed himself by the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. A sign that you are about to enter into a season of divine visitation is when you begin to have a sudden desire or a quickening. Now, a quickening for the presence of God. I'm making it white. A quickening or a sudden desire over and beyond the normal time that you spend with God. Whether it is in prayer, whether it is in time of worship, whether it is in spending time in the Word of God. When you have a spike, when suddenly you just, there was a season of my life that it was even becoming embarrassing. Every time I sat down, to maybe watch TV, I'll just hear the Holy Spirit say, I just sense in my heart, it's time to go and pray. It was almost becoming embarrassing because sometimes I will have guests and it will be time for me to go and pray. And I'm not saying I didn't pray that day. I'm not saying I didn't pray in the morning. I'm saying I have done my normal prayer, my normal time of studying the word, but suddenly I will just sense that it's time to pray. Now listen to me, please. When you are sensing, when you have it, let me say this. When you are sensing a season in your life, when you are always pulled into God's presence, when you are always, may God give you the grace to obey. Because often it means one of two. It either means that there is a danger ahead that God wants to deliver you from. There's something ahead that God wants to deliver you from. So he's pulling you into his presence. He wants you to come in and resolve certain things. Or it means there's a breakthrough ahead of you. Let me tell you this. I almost, you see this radio ministry that is going on. I almost missed it. I was driving in town one day and I got to a traffic stop. I heard it loud. There's vacancy. So I knew God was telling me something. I didn't know what it was. It was during COVID. I came home that day and I used to follow one of my mentors having podcasts. At that time, everybody was doing podcasts. So I was following his podcast. So that day, there was a podcast and Bill Winston, he was having a podcast with Bill Winston. So Bill Winston was speaking. So Bill Winston was talking about how to have an encounter with God. You know, so he said, when there's about to be an encounter with God, this is what you do. And I sensed in my spirit, pray tonight at so-so hour. So it was around, I think that I was listening to the podcast around 8 o'clock or so, something like that. I even went to the sitting room. I said, we're praying by so-so time. I went to the room. I laid down. I woke up at 5 a.m. The moment I woke up at 5, I just knew I missed an instruction. And you know me, I don't believe in alarm. I didn't used to believe in it. The way I have been designed, I'm telling you this, I'm telling you an ally not. I have my whole Christian life, the Holy Spirit wakes me up. The whole of my Christian life, the Holy Spirit wakes me up. So I have never been this person that would put alarm to wake up. I don't put alarm. That day, I should have put alarm. Because as God was giving me instructions, Satan was going to make sure that I don't follow that. Are you understanding me? So I woke up that morning and I knew I'd missed an instruction. So I sat down. I looked. I put a call through one of the major ministers in this country. I called him. Elderly minister. I called him. I said, sir, I missed an instruction. What do I do? Now, I'm trying to show you something as I share this. You know, some of us, we don't care. You sense God told you to wake up at something and pray. You don't give a damn. You woke up and you knew you missed it. And it was not a matter, it's not an issue for you. When we come to teaching in the book of Acts, you will notice how God dealt with people in the book of Acts. And I'll show us something. So I called his father. I called him. I said, "Sir, I missed. I was sitting right here." I said, "Sir, I missed something." So I told him. Then he shared a story of his life with me. He shared how he missed God. Because God taught me something many years ago. God, one of the reasons why there should be some critical elders, when I say elders, people that have worked with God in the faith with you, is that I learned that, who is washing car outside? Okay, now I learned that if you see somebody that is a father, the meaning is that he has gone through something. I went to preach for a younger minister somewhere. And I and the younger minister had had some issues many years ago. So when I came to preach, the minister came up, was apologizing. And you know, all these things are going on live. And was saying a lot of things. And the whole thing was designed in a way that I needed to respond. And if I didn't respond, it would look like I had something in my heart. And the reason why I honored the invitation in the first place was to show that there was nothing. Because if there was anything, I wouldn't go. So, and the Holy Spirit had prepared me. The Holy Spirit had prepared me for that meeting. So, I went. And there was a clear demand of me to say something. So I went up, and the Holy Spirit, and I just said to them, I said, whatever that thing is, whatever may be the issue, I just want to say this. Because I'm invited as a senior person. I just want to say this, that there is no general without scars. If you see a general that does not have a scar, then you should question that general. So, what I'm trying to say is that if somebody has become a father, he must have made. See, let me tell you something. The ministry is not learned by getting it right all the time. Real ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus Christ used to say that anybody that has never fallen before cannot preach to him, because he has nothing to say to him. Real ministry happens in the lives of people who made mistakes. That is where the anointing comes from. So I called this person and I spoke with him. And he said to me, he said, let me tell you a story. Then he told me a story of something that happened in the 80s. Something that happened in the 80s. So I got it. When I got it, this is important because you see, you can miss a season when you don't know what to do. You can miss a season when you don't know what to do. So this is how I put it. God helped me to rewind the clock. I didn't have to stay long. God helped me to rewind the clock. Help me to rewind the clock. There are two or three seasons in my life that God helped me to have a rewind. To have a rewind. And in both seasons, some senior men spoke into my life. Just some of them didn't even know what they were saying. But they spoke into my life and it gave me the key to change the season. So I went back, I changed. I did what was expected of me. That's how the radio ministry was birthed. When the radio, do you know that this radio ministry, even me sometimes has to worry. I am trying to create worry. No, I'm being sincere with you. I'm trying to be worried. Deborah is here. As at December, we were struggling how to be, right? Jalingo was there. This is here. And in serious money, is serious money. We were thinking how we couldn't, by November we were something like we were in debt. We couldn't pay. We were out with almost 600. Abi, to close the year. We're out with about 600,000 to close the year. Sometimes, when she brings our balance, I used to be surprised. When did the money arrive there? And you know, so what am I trying to say to you? That when you have a sudden sense of, you know, you have a sudden, when you sense in your spirit, like God is calling you to a place of prayer. Has anybody ever sensed that kind of a thing? That there are seasons all that is in your heart is you're just feeling to pray. You're going to walk, you're feeling to pray. After you have prayed, you still feel like you need to pray. Sometimes you just sense a season in your life when you just want to stay in the presence of God. Listen to me. What is about to happen to you is that there's a visitation. There's a visitation that is about to happen. And you will do yourself good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will do yourself good to separate yourself and spend that time that God is placing a demand on you to spend with Him. Because, listen to me, spending time with God, let me put it this way, Pastor Chintok taught, you know that when they challenged Moses and Aaron, who was the one that was the prophet of God? Is that right? Moses said to them, everybody take your rod and take it into the tabernacle and let's keep it there. He said, and the Bible says they came back the next day. And the Bible says, and Aaron's rod budded. Now, when they took those rods, you know rod, dry, you know the dry stick, this one that Fulani people carry. If they give you one, do you know which tree it is made out of? Can you tell which tree the rod is made out of? You don't know. The rod is dry. Life, every, you can't see. It is not a branch that fell off. You can't plant that. Even if you plant it and pour water, that thing cannot come back to life. It's dead. They took it and put it in that place. The next morning, the Bible says Aaron's rod budded. And it budded, I don't know whether it is fig, almond. It budded and almond leaves were coming out. That was how they knew that thing was even almond. Listen to me. There is something in your life that requires the presence of God to come. Are you hearing? When God is calling you, is that there's a thing that looks dry, there's a thing that looks dead, but there's actually life in it. But the only thing that can activate that life is the presence of God. In your presence I will flourish. I will blossom like Aaron's rod in your presence. Please listen to me. You business people, there are business ideas that miss the presence of God. There are things that you have been wondering, how do I go about this? How do I do this? How do I manage this? Go into His presence. Listen to me. Go into His presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go into His presence. Lay that thing in His presence. Lock the door. Stay there. Listen to me. I learned this principle in school. You know, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, God made a particular part heaven and decreed a particular place earth. Then the Bible says that the earth was dark and void. Is that right? The Bible says, and darkness filled the face of the deep. I like the Message translation. It says it was a chaotic mass. Now listen to me. What God did to redesign that chaotic mass and the presence of the Lord hovered over the waters. Hear me. Once the presence of God moves into a place, that place must of necessity experience an evolution. There must be an evolutionary process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the moment the presence of God moved in that place, the Bible says, so this is how I see it. It seems to me that it takes the presence of God for God. So let me put it this way so that we can get what I'm trying to say. It seems to me that the designer of destiny is the Holy Spirit. So it seems to me that whenever the Holy Spirit moves into or moves over a situation, what the Holy Spirit does is like a surveyor going in to survey a place. Are you getting me? And then when the surveyor surveys the place, the surveyor now says, we are going to locate a building over there. Then the surveyor says, the best place to locate the drainage is over there. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Then he says, then, are you hearing? Then God now produces a design for the thing that was a chaotic mass. Until the Spirit of God moved there, the Bible says it was a chaotic mass. But the moment the Spirit of the Lord moved over that place, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. Let's start walk over this life. That's why scripture will say to us that until the Spirit be poured out from on high, so that the wilderness becomes a fruitful field and the fruitful field becomes a forest. There is something in your life that requires the presence of God. There is something around you that requires the presence of God to hover over it. And you know, when the Bible says it hovers over it, let me tell you how the Holy Spirit showed me this. It's not hovering in terms of he was flying, but it's hovering in terms of it was incubating. Oh, you're not understanding what I'm saying. He sat, you know how a chicken sits over those eggs. You know that when the same egg that produces a chick is the same egg you fry in your... Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? The same egg that you are frying, you didn't see anything inside, was the same egg that the chicken hovered over and produced a chicken out of it. So the difference is what hovered over. So many people, there's something God wants to birth in you. Listen to me. We birth in his presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We birth in his presence. So scripture will say to us, can a nation be born in a day? He said, but when Zion traveled, as soon as Zion traveled. Let me tell you, the distance between you and the solution you're looking for is the distance from where you are and the presence of God. That's the distance. So I counsel you to come and buy bread without money and without price. I counsel you to come and buy bread without money and without price. Hallelujah. Is anybody receiving that word tonight? You need to get to a point where you understand this thing. Where you understand this thing. If you can take that situation. So I didn't want to say prayer because you don't know what are the sacrifices that the Holy Spirit may demand of you at a time. Sometimes I used to have a pastor when I was serving. My pastor then, the guy didn't go to school. In fact, and because the denomination required school certificates, he could not be made a permanent pastor. So, but the guy had an understanding, he understood something. So the guy used to have all night of praise. He used to say it in church, I thought it was a joke. until one day, I don't know what I went to do around midnight. I went out. I passed around where his house was. I was just hearing somebody shouting, disturbing the whole area at past midnight. Then it hit me. This guy is having all night, praise all night. So I don't want to come and say to you, so that's why I'm saying that you felt a need to, you are drawn. It can be prayer. It can be time in the Word. Are you hearing me? It can be a time of worship. That's why I envy these guys that play this thing. Oh, I envy them. They don't know what they carry. He said, bring us a minstrel. Bring us. We are going to birth something here. See, that's how you provoke certain. Are you hearing me? That's how you provoke certain things. Bring me a minstrel. That's all. You will not see dew. You will not see rain. You will not see everything that we will not follow normal process. We will not follow normal process. We are going to beat it. We're going to beat it. We will not follow normal process. So we bypass the process. Some people are going from place to place, dropping proposal, dropping this one. We will bypass the process. We are in our room. We bypass the process. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? We bypass. See, we bypass the process. We're trying to buy land. The person was giving us trouble. Somebody had gone to the bank. God gave money to the wife, gave money to the husband of the woman that has the papers. We started the deal with her elder brother. And the elder brother left town and gave his sister the papers because he was no more in town. So the husband of the man that wanted to also buy the same land went to the husband of the wife, collected money from the man that wanted to buy. Didn't tell the woman. It's a family property. Did not tell the woman and her siblings. The man, the husband, went, took the papers, did not tell the woman, and give this man. No, he didn't take the papers. He collected the money, entered an agreement, signed an agreement to sell the land without telling the wife. So I was driving. And I heard it. Praise God over this thing. Now, I was at that particular time that I sensed that. I will share something with you. When I sensed that direction, it was not a time to praise God. My heart was not in a position to praise God. Because we had been renting that land for 2 years. We had put certain things on that land. We had agreed. They said they were not ready to sell. Anytime they're ready to sell, we are the first people. So we've been paying. Are you understand what I'm saying? Now the time had come for us to rightly take possession. And somebody went. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I had the Holy Spirit give me expo. So let me show you what the Holy Spirit does. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you what the Holy Spirit does. And let me tell you this. When you understand this, when you understand this thing, you will stop being at the beck and call of anybody. I shared with you people on Sunday how I had an uncle that promised me. He told me everything was okay. So that you will understand that man, even at his best, is still a man. That he is limited in certain things. Give me second. Give me verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, not perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Which means that there is a code within which we operate. That is why scripture will say to you that though we walk in this world, we do not war after this world. So you have to understand it, that we are like normal people, oh. We are like normal people. But there's a dimension we can enter. And we can operate in that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can operate in that dimension. We can operate in that dimension and pick up things in that dimension and come back to this normal. See, if you read my book, or what I called The Purpose and the Power of Revelation, I said a revelation is a reality in the spirit that is applicable on the earth. It is in the spirit. It's a reality in the spirit. And listen to me. This is very important. Because if you don't know that it's important, somebody can move ahead of you. Because it is it's available in the spirit. That is the reason why familiar spirit can work. Because there are information that is in the spirit realm. So anybody that can enter that dimension can access that information, come back into this dimension and present it to you, and you will begin to... Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, the Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Once the time for warfare comes, we change dimension. Are you understanding what I'm saying? How many of you watch this Matrix, this movie Matrix? How many of you watch it? I've never understood what they were doing there. But somebody told me that thing is a spiritual thing. They are trying to teach a spiritual principle. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know that if you watch that movie, the people were operating in different dimensions. They are operating in different dimensions. I didn't understand what they were doing. So listen to me. You can live, as a believer, you live in different realities at the same time. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? You are living in different realities all at the same time. And listen to me very carefully. You are the only species that can do that. So listen. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't know. I'm just using this as an example. Get me back to my scripture. Habit, we speak wisdom. So listen, sir. Oh, it means that we can actually sit down here, sir, and legislate. Are you hearing me? On a matter that is concerning heaven on the earth. So the Bible says we speak wisdom. Oh, God, thank you for trans. When the Bible says we speak wisdom, are you hearing me? That means that we operate in a certain wisdom. The Bible says that this wisdom is not of this world. It says, nor is it of the princes of this world. Which means the princes of this world have a wisdom. But the wisdom we are operating does not belong to the princes of this world. So that is why, right? You can access this wisdom. You can enter into the dirty waters of politics and operate with that wisdom within that place. And the wisdom of God will become, are you hearing what I'm saying? It will become clear. You will not be corrupted by the corruption, and yet you can operate within that system. That was what Joseph did. Listen to me. When Joseph took his cup and gave his brother, when they found Joseph's cup among the things of his brothers, what did you hear was the response of the brothers? They said, this is the cup. When the servant of Joseph met them, he said, this is the cup with which my master does divination. In other words, in that day, the men at that level, they operate by divination. But how many of you know that Joseph was not operating by divination? So you will operate within that sphere. It will look as though you are playing the same game with them. No, you are actually operating in another alternate reality, which the princes of this world do not know. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, Nebuchadnezzar called them. Every other time Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, there were people who interpreted it. Because if they did not interpret it, Nebuchadnezzar would not demand of them to interpret it. The only thing was, this time he said, tell me the dream and tell me its interpretation. The wisdom of this age ended at that point. Oh, you are not hearing what I'm saying. The wisdom of that age ended at this point. And I'm telling you by the Holy Spirit that in this place, this year, men will begin to arise that will interpret things that the wisdom of this world cannot interpret, that the wisdom of this world cannot see. Look at it. He said, we speak wisdom among them who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. Now, he says that the wisdom of the princes of this world comes to naught, which means when they do it and do it and do it, it will arrive at a point that it must of a necessity end.
bent. It cannot break into certain things.
Now look at the next statement. Look at the next statement. Oh, give me the next statement, guys. But we speak the wisdom of who? The wisdom of God in a mystery. Even what? The hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world. Why? Unto our glory. In other words, that is how we come into glory. I bring to you tonight, I recommend to you a wisdom that brings men into the place of glory. Tonight, I recommend to you a wisdom, a different level of wisdom. The intention of that wisdom is that men may come into glory. Oh, tonight, my prayer is that may you receive the consolation of the Holy Spirit to play his own game. May you receive, is anybody hearing me? That may you be contented to play it his own way. Is anybody hearing me? That you may you accept his own strategy. That may you not be enticed by the wisdom of this world. That may your heart be captured by his own ways. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Yes, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Next, quickly, I want to show something. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, ears have not heard, hearts have not conceived, that which the Lord has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. Look at it now. But God has revealed them, not revealed it. See, listen to me. The Bible calls it the manifold wisdom of God. You can't end it, it doesn't finish. So it means that today I can go in and get it concerning my marriage. Yes, then tomorrow I can go in and get it concerning my job. Then next tomorrow I can go in and get it concerning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can go in there and get it concerning my health. There is called the manifold wisdom of God. Let me explain to you what manifold means. How many of you have ever taken onions? When you remove one, you see another layer. So the wisdom of God is like it's multi-layered. It's called the manifold wisdom of God. But God had revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. I sense the Spirit is searching something about somebody. The Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Next verse. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, because the spirit of the world will only teach you the wisdom of this world. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might what? That we might what? That we might know the things. Now listen to me. That is why you will understand when Joel says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see what? Visions. Listen to me. That is why, listen to me, you can sit here and see the next 10 years. Then you can reorganize and adjust your business and your life. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Then you can adjust. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Which means that by the time I operate God, I will not need to give my body, my sister. I don't need to sleep with somebody. It's freely given. You didn't hear what I said. That means that if I operate God, are you hearing me? I don't need to have high blood pressure because I'm about to build a house. It means I can come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means that if I am operating God, what I eventually get will be free. It will be free, not because there was no effort at all, but it is free compared to what some people have to do to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That we might know the things that are what? Freely. Can you take a minute there and pray? I said, this year, I come into the things that are free.
I come to into the things that are freely given to me. I come into the, just take a minute and pray. I come into the things that are freely. I come into the things that are freely. Emolada bokosiande shetelava. Imalo talimalo yande. Ingradebalo sebara kante. She solo korapala indalobo yusu. Me embrada bakosoto lobrede. Ma inda robokose breshete kaya. Losa malabalo donsa vare pokose. Iglara matobre deseka. Ma bleto rama kente emprosa. Dishato kola ayendo. Embradala kadobare bekese. Ma inda loborosembere kese. Zuta liprasa kaya. Endo amparadoko seyende. Emparasebodoko. Tonight as a people. Tonight as a church. Tonight makade emborosa. Imba debalo korabakaha. Ma emboro bokose bradakaha. Me endayabolo borokose. Me embrado sapakareto. We come into the truth. We come into the things that are freely El Sabaradoko. Me etarabara miyato salera bokose. Isutula rita makasia. Temporo sabraka. We receive the wisdom of God. The wisdom which is of God. Embarado perekese teleba. Embrado se pekese ndolo prekese. Mashado le bayanto. Enkarada bakose bredehem. We receive the things that are freely. We receive the things that are freely. We receive the things that are freely. Free, free, free given to us. Epala barabako sembranda kaya. Ma andala brakabo sabre doko sekaya. In the name of Jesus. That we might know. That we might know. The things that are freely given unto us. That we might know the things that are freely given unto us. That we might know the things that are freely. Please sit down briefly. I show you a mystery. That it's not everybody that you saw succeed that had to compromise. Is anybody hearing me? That is not everybody that you see that has a massive breakthrough that had to corrupt himself. That there are things in God that a man comes into. There's an access a man. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? We might know the things that are free. Let me ground up this teaching. The third thing that shows you a season of visitation is about to come upon you is when you begin to have the sense to be a blessing. Are you hearing me? When you begin to have, when you sense generosity. I don't know about you, but there are seasons of my life that even in the office, I just begin to just feel, let's do this. Sometimes there may not be money, but just sense, let's do this for this person. Oh, who is this person that is going through this? Oh, who is this person? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you sense the spirit of compassion rising in your heart. Suddenly, are you hearing what I'm saying? Suddenly you begin to sense something rising up in your spirit that has to do with being generous. Suddenly, you begin to sense, you begin to have this thing about a kingdom assignment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about the normal, the natural, the usual. Are you hearing me? You might have even done what you feel that, okay, I should do. Then suddenly, you know the night that God visited Solomon. How many of you know the night that God visited Solomon? 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 3. The first Corinthians, First Kings chapter 3 from, I think, verse 1 or verse 3 or so. Guys, just get it for us. And Solomon, And Solomon made, take me to verse 3, let me see. Verse 3, media. No, that's not where I'm looking for. I'm looking for where he dedicated the temple. In the dedication of the temple, the Bible says that Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Look for that place for me. He gave 1,000 burnt offerings. Sir, 1,000 cows. And the king went to Gibeah to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Next verse. Next verse. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream that night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And when I was preparing this, are you hearing me? The Lord said, put this up. He said, tell the people. He said, this year is the year of your giving. Are you hearing what? This year, you will give this year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know what it is. But there's something about giving that provokes God. And let me say this. I discovered that giving is a spiritual law. Are you hearing me? Because the natural thing for every human being is to keep. Are you hearing me? Let me link it up for you with Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, the Bible says that for the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh. Which means that every time I take an action that is not fleshly, it high probably it is a spiritual action. And what happens is that by that action, I kill the flesh. I mortify the flesh. I silence the voice of the flesh. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is something about God. There's something about a sacrifice that moves God. There's something about a sacrificial giving that but there's something about it. There's something about it. And listen to me. There are things. Are you hearing me? There are things that naturally God will not ignore. But there's something about the sacrifice that makes God to ignore. Israel was at war. They were winning the war. And they had reached the gate of the city. And the king of that city did not know what to do. He took his son and sacrificed him. The Bible says that it was not a pleasing sacrifice. The obscenity of that sacrifice, the pungency of that sacrifice, God moved against Israel. I was traveling for, it was Mao's wedding. So I was passing through some of the land of I don't know which tribes are in that area. I can't remember the town. And somebody was telling me the story of that place. That there was a war and the king took his daughter and sacrificed and buried her alive. And because of that, they said that they don't dig well in that place or something. They said there's no water in the place or something. Turned the war. That was how he turned the battle. Took his daughter, his only daughter. I'm talking even demonic beings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even demonic beings understand the power of a sacrifice. God told Abraham, he said, because of this thing that you have done. See, let me tell you something. There are things you do, but there are things you do. That's why I said, it's not some... There are things you do that when you do it, the whole world can gather against you. God will remember that sacrifice. See, let me tell you, other people will do what you... Other people will do that thing you did. God will deal with them. But when it comes to you, God will remember that sacrifice. It stands as a memorial before God. This year, make up your mind. You will raise a memorial before God. You will do, are you hearing what I'm saying? You will, there's something you will do that heaven will take note of it. I've seen it time and again. I don't understand it, but I just know that it works. I've seen it time and again. I've seen, listen to me, let me tell you something. I've seen wicked men, are you hearing me? But I have understood a secret in their lives, that what is keeping them is their sacrifices. I went to a place, let me tell you this, I went to a place in Abuja. And there were houses in that place. The house I was staying in was number 407. There's an estate, number 407. Within that estate, there are more than 3,000 houses. And one particular person owns, and then almost the estate, only about 60% have been built. There's still 40% of the land that is still virgin. One person owns more than 70 of the houses. And they told me the character of the man. But then I saw churches within the vicinity. So when I saw the churches, I would say, oh, maybe a member of the church, member of that church built the church. The man said, no. He said, that guy I told you about, he is the one that built all this. They told me of the number of churches that man has built. Then I look at him. You look at a man that in your mind, God should judge this man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it seems as though the judgment of God is held back from the... Are you understanding what I'm saying? It seems as though the judgment of God is held back. As if something holds back the judgment of God up over that person. And I discovered that, listen to me, I'm not saying you should not become a wicked man. And then, no, that's not what I'm saying. Because people just have a way of applying scripture, you know. But it seems to me that there is a generosity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that? Let me tell you this. I sat with a major man in this country. I was talking with him. Then he said to me, he said, let people pray for you. Let people pray. That's how he was talking to me. He said, let people pray for you. He said, this is how he put it. He said, may widows be praying for you. So I was wondering, what is man saying? I discovered that the man, see, in this town, I met somebody in this town. I discovered that wherever there were widows, wherever there were orphans, wherever there were, are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those people, are you getting me? So I discovered something. That those people, there are certain they don't take for granted. They don't take the house of God for granted. They don't take it for granted. Somebody came to see me yesterday. Somebody came. Almost, this area almost got into trouble when the person came. For those of you that were here, you understand what I... Then the person... the amount of security that they came with. Then the person was, I noticed the person was just fidgety. He was just fidgety. Then he said to me, he said, sir, the way we were taught. So I was wondering who taught him. He said, the way we were taught is that you have to be careful when you come to the presence of a prophet. So I was So, listen to me. I understood that these people understood something. Are you getting me? They understand something. They have, let me use a word that is not the best. They have played this game long enough. Huh? let me put it that way. They've played the game long enough that they understand certain spiritual principles. Those spiritual principles, you are a church person, you are taking it for granted. You are a church person, you are taking it for granted. You are talking about it. You are assuming, are you understanding what I'm saying? You are hearing it every day that it has become normal to you. May God grant you insight into this thing. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. I don't know what you heard tonight, but I believe that every time you hear the word of God, God speaks about something to you. I want you in the next 2-3 minutes to take that thing up as a prayer. That matter that the Holy Spirit highlighted to you, that direction that you received, that instruction that you receive. Sometimes you can even receive an instruction that it looks like, how can God give me this instruction? He knows I don't have capacity. God is the one, listen to me, He gives grace. For every instruction, He gives you the grace to carry out the instruction. He never gives you an instruction for you to carry out in your power. He never gives you an instruction for you to do it with your own strength. Every time He gives you an instruction, it's so that he gives you the grace, the ability for you to be able to execute that instruction. I want you tonight to open your mouth. I want you to lift up every instruction, every direction, every prayer point, everything that rose up in your spirit, everything that became a road, a sign, everything that became a direction for you. Tonight, lift it up. Lift it up before the Lord. Everything that became a direction for you.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.